Before we start this episode of Conversations with Kenyatta, I'm excited to tell you about my new partnership with Audible. Listeners can go to www.audibletrial.com/Kenyatta to receive a free 30-day trial. Audible is a wonderful resource with audiobooks for every reader. It even has titles from authors that have been on my podcast, such as Dr. Dan Bouck's Democracy's Data and Gail Lukasik's White Like Her. And please note that this is an affiliate link, so I may receive a commission with no cost to you, just a free trial with so many wonderful titles. And I love to read. But with that, here's this week's episode of Conversations with Kenyatta. Hi, everyone. I'm Kenyatta Berry, and welcome to the second episode of Conversations with Kenyatta. You may know me as host of Genealogy Roadshow on PBS or as the author of the Family Tree Toolkit. And today I have my first guest, Gail Lukasik. I'm very excited to have Gail on the show because she's the author of White Like Her, soon to be released in paperback, as well as one of my favorite guest on Genealogy Roadshow. The episode that I did with Gail was featured as one of our favorite episodes. Gail and I share a unique bond. We also share the same literary agent, but also her time on the show has really changed her life and changed my life. So today we're going to catch up with Gail, see what's new with her, and talk about her new book as well. So Gail, I'm so glad to have you on Conversations with Kenyatta. We have such a special bond, I think, based on your appearance on Genealogy Roadshow, and our connection since then has been quite some time since we've chatted. So I wanted to start out in asking you sort of, how did you hear about Genealogy Roadshow?
Well, the way I heard about the show was I watched the first season. I watched season one. And I realized when I watched it that it really appealed to two of my interests, which are genealogy and history. And the other thing I really, really liked about the show was that it was about ordinary people, just like me.
And that's what I loved about doing the show as well. But what made you decide? You watched season one, but what made you say, you know what, I'm going to submit my question or submit to be on the show?
Well, it was very serendipitous what happened. My mother, Elvira Frederick Kalina, died in April of 2014. And then about 3 months later, almost to the exact day of her death, my husband was reading through our local library's genealogy section, and they had a little ad for Genealogy Roadshow. And one of the cities, believe it or not, was New Orleans. So my husband came to me and he said, you know, this is your opportunity to find out the truth of your mother's heritage. I think you should apply for the show. And that's what I did.
And I'm glad that you did apply for the show because I had such a wonderful time with you. And I know I remember my experience on the show with you. But what do you remember most about your experience on Genealogy Roadshow?
Well, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it was very profound. You know, I went there seeking truth. I wanted to know if my mother was passing for white, had she been passing for white, and what exactly was her racial heritage. When I had confronted her about it, I actually discovered the 1900 Louisiana census. I had been doing my own research, and this was back, I want to say, 1995. Some time ago. And I stumbled across in the census her father, and it said that on the census that he and his whole family were Black. And I was quite surprised because I had no idea about that. So when I confronted her in, actually by the time I got around to it was 1997. And she denied it at first. And then when I told her, Mom, I have all these documents, then she said to me, you can't tell anyone until after I die. So that's why I say it's serendipitous, because my mom died in April. I saw the Genealogy Road advertisement in July, and it just, I had kept that vow for her for 17 years because she did not want me to tell anyone. Yeah, and getting back to your question, I kind of got a little bit off track there. So the vow, my vow was lifted. I didn't have to keep it anymore. So I thought, I want to find out the truth. And the other thing I started thinking about was, you know, you don't hear a lot of these stories. And maybe this would be a great opportunity to tell this story in a public forum. So those were my reasons.
You know, I've always found, I found that very interesting when, you know, knowing your story right before you came on board, you came into the show and kind of understanding, having that background, you know, for me, just to have you keep that vow for so long and then decide to make it very public, I thought, you know, was pretty brave, and to not know what reaction you would get from coming on the show. So I know that after that experience, you know, we've talked and we've been connected, but you wrote a book, White Like Her. So in writing that book, how has that changed your life?
Oh, well, that's a big question, Kenyatta.
I know.
You know, the actual writing of the book, while I was writing it, I was researching my family's genealogy. The roadshow was great in that they really were able to get the family tree back to 1792 with Urson Frederick. But when I sat down to write the book, I decided that I wanted to go as far back as I could in American history with my family. I wanted to know who were the first people here in America. And I, of course, suspected that I had enslaved ancestors, and I wanted to know who they were. So that was a real journey of self-discovery for me. And right before I started writing it, actually sitting down and writing it, actually was right after I was on the show aired, which, as you know, the show aired in January 2015. 3 days later, I was contacted by a woman by the name of Stephanie Frederick, my mother's maiden name. And she said to me, "I saw you on Genealogy Roadshow, and my father is Azimah Frederick Jr.," which Azimah was my grandfather's name. And she said, "I'm your cousin, and my father is your mother's half-brother, and he's your uncle." I have to say, at that moment, I sat there and cried. I'm not kidding you, because all my aunts and uncles I'd ever known were already dead. My parents were deceased, and suddenly I have an uncle and I have a cousin. And then about an hour or so after that, I got another email from a woman who identified herself as Aunt Alma. And she said, "I'm your mother's half-sister. We want to welcome you to the family. Let's talk."
Wow.
That day, and this is all because of the roadshow, Kenyatta. That day, we had a two-hour conversation, and it became clear to all three of us that we didn't know each other existed. I mean, Stephanie and Aunt Alma knew that each other existed, but they didn't know about me. I didn't know about them. And they said to me, "We want to have a big party for you to welcome you back to the Frederick family in New Orleans. When can you come?" And I already had plane tickets. My husband and I were going to go in April because I was going to write the book. I was going to do research. And I just said April, and I thought, they'll never come. Oh yeah, they all came. We had a huge party in New Orleans. It was wonderful. I mean, you should have seen it. It was great. So, I mean, the show just had such a profound influence on me as well as writing the book. I mean, they go hand in hand for me.
I think that has kind of been my experience too, right? Since having you, you know, on the show, you and I have bonded and connected in various ways, right? And one of the things that I wanted to share with you is I remember when Stephanie gave you had that launch party in LA for your book. And I can't remember. I think we were at the Soho House or something like that.
Yes.
And it was right around the time I feel as though I was kind of contemplating whether or not I was going to leave my day job, right? Because I had written my book and it was coming out and your book had come out. And I remember standing there and you were like so excited. And you said to me, you were like, I'm so excited. I didn't know any of this was going to happen. And I said to you, I knew it would. And you were like, how? And I told you, because I knew what I was telling you would change your life. And that moment and that time and like that, just that moment for us made me realize at least that it was time for me to go. It was time for me to leave technology. It was time for me to do and pursue what I love, because I just saw the joy and the connection and how this experience really brought you. You know, you've met an entire branch of your family you didn't know before, you know? Yeah, so that was just such a great experience for me, and I loved being a part of it, so I was happy to be there.
I don't know if you remember this. When the day we filmed, there were two actual really moving moments, and I'm sure you remember the first one for sure, is when you brought up the, I think it was the 1940 census from Louisiana, and you showed me my mother on the census, and for race, they had written down NEG for Negro, and that was in 1940. It was so, not shocking, but just verifying. It was so, you know, I had proof. And then there was another moment where I almost lost it. You were telling me, and you actually said to me, you said, do you need to take a break? Because I got really upset. I don't know if you remember this. And you said, you started telling me about my grandfather. And you said, well, I don't know if you know this, but he remarried and he had five additional children. And that's when I almost lost it, because I knew what my mother's childhood had looked like. She was not raised by her father. She wasn't raised by her mother. She was shuffled around from one family member to another. And I felt such sorrow for her, knowing that he had started another family. And I thought, well, maybe she felt really abandoned by him. So at that moment, I really was upset. But you know, the great thing about research, and you know this, when I really got into the family history, that really wasn't the whole story. And I found a court document that he had fought for custody for my mother and her siblings. So it really wasn't what I thought it was. But at that moment, that's what I thought.
Right. And I do remember that. And that's the thing. And I'm happy that you were able to really kind of find the true story, right? The real story, because we don't know why people make certain decisions. We don't know what happened because we weren't there. And for you to be able to kind of, you know, to complete that story of your mother, right? And understand more about her childhood. And then to meet these relatives you didn't know existed, is why we do what we do. It's why we do the work that we do, because you want to reconnect these families that have been lost. And I wonder, in all of that, all the research you've done, you know, kind of, if there was one thing you could say to your mom about this experience, you know, what would it be? What would you say to her today?
What I would say, and I thought a lot about this. First of all, I would say, I understand why you did what you did. But I just wished, after I told you I knew, that you would talk to me about it. For those long 17 years, she refused to talk to me about it. Every time I brought it up, she changed the subject. She was like a sealed vault. She just was not going to talk about it. And I feel that is a loss for me.
Yeah. And, you know, with family secrets and things like this, and we talked about this on the show, you know, when your mom made the decision to pass for white, it was a very difficult decision. She couldn't go back home. You know, you really couldn't have relatives and come and visit. And she kind of shut off, you know, a part of her life, right? For whatever reason. And yeah. And so I've thought about that a lot, you know, and when I talk about sort of, I'm interviewed and they say, well, what's your favorite episode, your favorite story? Of course, you know, it's always your story, because I feel like it's a story that a lot of people have, but they really don't know how to share it, don't know how to, you know, kind of tell that story. And when we spoke at your, at the launch party, and I think I've seen you say this in interviews, a lot of people contacted you after being on Genealogy Roadshow and shared their stories with you. So tell us a little bit about how that impacted you once the book was published and people shared their own experiences.
Well, I have to say, I was not prepared for this. I really wasn't. You know, I've been a writer for a long time. I write mysteries. And, you know, once in a while, you'll hear from somebody. But I have never heard from so many people on such a scale as I did. And I'm talking about not just in the U.S. I mean, I've heard from people from Australia, from England to Africa. I've heard from around the globe. And what most of them, why they contact me mostly, is first of all, they've either watched something on, you know, on YouTube about me, or they've read the book, they've read White Like Her, and they want to share something about their own story. And usually it's, yes, we had a family member who passed, and nobody ever talked about it. Or it'll be a younger generation who's very upset about it because they want to know this person, or they miss knowing this person. So that's one of the things I hear about. And the other thing I hear about, it's interesting, is family secrets, not necessarily racial. They could be, I just found out my father's not my father. Mm-hmm. And they just want someone to hear them. They just want to share that. And I realized that was something, the book was very important in that way. It kind of opened a dialogue for people to share this, to talk to me. Because they can't all the time talk to family members about it. Or they ask me, how do I talk to family members about it? Suddenly I'm sort of a therapist, which is not my role at all. It's not a hat I want to wear. But, you know, all I do is tell them how I did it. And that's all I can do. But it's really heartening to me to hear from these people. And I have to tell you, I answer every single one, except the haters. I don't answer the haters. We don't need that. So I answer every single person. I sent a personal note.
That's great. And I know you weren't prepared for sort of the kind of influx of emails and stories. And as you said, family secrets that were coming, coming to you from these individuals. But what I have found just in the work that I do, even outside of just your story and other stories, is that people are looking for someone to connect to, right? Someone to help them kind of understand what they're going through. And I really enjoyed, you know, reading your book and your experience, and it's very well done. So what advice would you give to some of those individuals that might have contacted you that are thinking about writing a book about their family history, or any of the listeners that are thinking about that today? What advice would you give them?
Well, you know what I would do, and people have actually asked me this. I would ask them one question first. Why are you writing this? Because I think that's important before you even start. I mean, is it just that you want it for your family, that you want to hand it down to your kids, or you want other, your, you know, siblings to see it? Or do you want to have it published? So I always want to get that clear with people. So if it's for your family, and I'm sure Kenyatta, you've told people this as well. I mean, of course you're going to do the family tree and put in the dates and, you know, where they lived and maybe their occupation. I would say, if possible, try and get a personal story about that person. Make them come alive in some way for, you know, whoever you're going to give this to. And if you can, include photos. I think photographs are so powerful. They really are. Now, if you want to get published, that's a whole other story. And just from my own long experience as a writer, I would say, I wouldn't discourage you, but I would say, make sure you have an unusual family story, because it's a tough market, and that's what publishers would be looking for. So it can't be just a family story. It has to be something a little bit different. And I think that's why I was able to get White Like Her published, because it was different. It wasn't, you know, the usual family story.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Because I often say to people when they're starting to do their research, what's the problem you're trying to solve? What's the story you're trying to tell, right? Because it can be really overwhelming. And in a crowded space, as you mentioned, in writing a book, something to be unique is important. But I want to go back since you started, you are a writer. When you came on the show, you had written several books before appearing on Genealogy Roadshow. So now that you've written White Like Her and been on the show and you've had kind of a lot of press around that as well, how has really this experience impacted you personally, right? I'd love to know that. And then also professionally as a writer.
Okay, well, I'll take on, since you said personally first, I'll take that on first. Of course, the one we talked about already, which was huge, being reunited with my mother's, I call them my lost family, because I didn't know they existed. So that was really very huge and very emotional for me. You know, I said we were going to have that reunion. We had that reunion. That was spectacular. Another thing that really affected me personally, and I have to kind of set you up for this. When I first went on this journey, I thought of myself as a white woman. That's how I was raised. If you see me visually, that's what I look like. That's my cultural background. So once the book came out and I went around the country giving presentations, inevitably I would be asked, so now that you know, how do you identify? You know, that's a big question. So in the beginning, you know, I was kind of a novice at this. I said, well, I'm a white woman with Black ancestry, because I was trying to be culturally sensitive. Let's be honest. I've had a life of white privilege. You know, that's what I've had. I felt like I didn't have any right to claim anything else, that would be dishonest. And then then an interesting thing happened. I was on the Today Show, mm-hmm. and afterwards, someone really got upset with me because I said that. And the feedback was, it was just one person. They said, well, I'm really disappointed in you because you just said you were a white woman with Black ancestry. You're not really giving homage to your Black ancestry. So I started thinking more about it. And it took me a while to come around to where I felt comfortable with what I finally decided. And I just thought to myself, well, let's just do the science. DNA-wise, 9 to 11% African. Okay, we've got that. So I can claim that. And then I started thinking about what my ancestors had endured, going all the way back to, 18th century, early 18th century Louisiana, to an enslaved woman who was an ancestor named Marta, didn't even have a last name. And I went through, looked at all that ancestry and what racism, how it had affected my ancestors in such horrible ways and kept them, in a box, whatever, even my own mother. And I thought, no, you know what? I'm a mixed race woman. That's who I am. You can look at me and shake your head all you want. That's what I am. And so, after that, when people would ask, I would say that, and nobody said anything. So I thought, okay. I don't know. What do you think, Kenyatta?
Yeah, I was going to say that's interesting because, within Louisiana, from your research, they have that one drop rule, right? One drop of African blood, you're Black. And just as a country, we have just identified a person as either Black or white, right? I mean, there's other folks, of course, that make up the fabric of who we are as Americans. But that's really been our history, and especially when it comes to doing slave ancestral research. And Louisiana is complicated in its own right with the French, the Spanish, and European, African ancestry. But, Gail, I think for you, is what's important is how you feel, right? Because people are going to have a comment and say you should do something one way or another. But if you feel comfortable identifying yourself as mixed race, then I think that's great. And I, again, often say, and I said this to you when we were filming. It was really brave of you to actually go on television and say that and take that secret that you held in for 17 years and release it into the universe, so to speak, in front of a national audience, not knowing what response you would get. You mentioned the haters. There's going to be backlash. There's going to be people that are prejudiced. So I really commend you on doing that and identifying yourself as mixed race also takes into account your mother's heritage, your grandfather's heritage, you know, your grandmother's heritage, right? All of your family that came from Louisiana. And then out and integrating that into your cousins, you know, who I've met, your uncle and your cousin. So I think it's great that you've come to that point, because learning something like this, right, it's going to change your view of yourself. I mean, it's just a natural human reaction and response to it. So I think that's why I love this as my favorite story. That's why I love this story so much, because I think it represents so much of who we are. And it gives people hope that they can find something out about their ancestry and not be ashamed of it, you know, embrace it. And I think that's what you've really done, especially with writing your book. And you know, with your appearances on national television.
You know, you were talking about the one drop rule, Kenyatta, and I'm like not thinking of the exact date in Louisiana, but I think it was around either 1983 or something like that. I don't have the right year, but Louisiana decided they were not going to do the one drop rule. And I always talk about this when I do my talks. They decided that might be a little bit too strict. So what they decided is they were going to come up with a mathematical formula to decide if you were black. I think it was, I'm tripping up on the percentage, but I think it was something ridiculous, point something percent. So I'm not good with math, but I knew that I was 9 to 11% African. So I said to my husband, honey, you do the math. And he says, well, guess what? Had you been in Louisiana at that time, you would have been designated as a black woman. Mm-hmm. Just know that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's so true. So I think it's important to talk about these things. And, you know, I don't, just from a professional perspective, because of all your television appearances that you did, especially with your cousin, Stephanie Frederick, how has White Like Her been, I guess, kind of recognized, or how has it impacted your professional life outside of just being a writer?
It has been amazing. After the book came out, I was asked to write an article for the Washington Post, which I was very privileged to do. I was very happy to do that. And that was 2017. So at the end of 2017, the Washington Post decides, I think there are 6 stories they think are the most inspiring of that year. And they chose White Like Her as one of those 6. So from there, I guess NBC's Today Show saw that, asked me to be on the show. So that was great, because then suddenly the book bumped up to the top 100 books on Amazon for several weeks, which is a writer's dream.
Yay. Congrats.
Oh my. And that led to my appearance in a documentary film, which is called The History of Memory, which won a 2019 Tribeca Award. I was so proud to be in that. And if anyone's interested, you can watch it on Prime. And then even bigger news, White Like Her was optioned by FGW Productions and Turner Productions for either a TV dramatic series or a film. They haven't decided. I wish they'd decide already, so they get moving ahead on this. So they'll be pitching to places like Netflix, hopefully. And the other thing, I'm currently in talks with another documentarian who wants to do a documentary about how identity is affected when you discover you're not who you thought you were culturally or ethnically or racially. So that's not a for sure yet, but that's we're in talks about that. So it's been an amazing, amazing journey. I keep using that word, but I don't know what other word.
Well, congratulations. That's, you know, I'm so happy that this experience on Genealogy Roadshow led to the book, led to your connections with your family, led to the connections with Stephanie, to the option of the book for production, you know, as a television show. But with all of that going on, you know, you still are a writer. So when, this is a question I get all the time, so I have to ask you. So when is your next book coming out?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm very happy to say that I just finished writing my first Gothic historical mystery. It's called The Darkness Surrounds Us. And if I can give you my little elevator plug, it's...
Please do.
Okay. In 1918, a daughter's quest for her lost father leads her to a desolate Michigan island and a secret that changes everything she's ever known about herself. So it's in my agent's hands. She's going to shop it around. We'll see. You know, this is what, you know, when we are all locked down last year, I actually started in December of 2019, and it touches on the 1918 flu as well. So it's like I had a premonition. I don't know. I started writing this, and it's like, whoa, and she's a nurse and all this. I put all this stuff in it. And I thought, well, that's really strange. But anyhow, the lockdown was good for my writing.
Well, congrats. I'm excited to hear that you do have another book. I wish Gail, I could say, Gail and I share the same literary agent. And and I wish I could say that I turned a book in, but I was not as prolific as you, Gail, during the lockdown. I did not finish my second book at all. So I am happy you did that. Well, I think it's so great. I'm very excited for you, and I really, really, truly love that this, how your life has evolved since the show, how we both have actually changed and become closer and connected since you being on Genealogy Roadshow. And I look forward to reading your book. I don't think I've ever read a Gothic novel, but because you wrote it, I'll read it. So there's that. Yeah. But I really want to thank you for being with us today. But before I leave you, I know that White Like Her is coming out in paperback. So when is the release date for that?
It actually was this week. So it's out in paperback. Your best bet is to go to Amazon. It's there. Okay. And I'm also starting to look at, and I'm sure you are too, Kenyatta, now that things are getting better, you know, the vaccines are getting out there. So I'm looking at doing in-person presentations and hopefully, and Zoom events, whatever comes my way. I'm ready.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know what, Gail, we've never had that opportunity. And we talked about this before, because since I wrote the foreword for your book, for us to actually do something together, which I think would be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd love it.
Yes. Yes. We can do it. I would love, I'm itching to get back on the road and travel. So I would love to work together, and we can schedule something for us to talk about your experience and your book and everything.
I think that's a great idea, Kenyatta. Let's really make that happen. Let's do it.
We will. We definitely will. We will make it happen. As I told you that we are forever connected, Gail, you can't get rid of me.
We are. You know, I was very touched. I listened to your first podcast, and I was very touched by it, what you had to say about the influence that White Like Her had on you in continuing your wonderful work. I'm very happy about that.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's true. It's true. And it's been such a blessing, and just very honored to have you join me on my podcast, and just to know you and know your story, and to know that you're inspiring others around the world to really understand who they are, their identity, and to want to tell their story. So thank you so much, so much for everything that you do and for taking the time today to join me.
Thank you for having me on.
Conversations with Kenyatta is produced by Kenyatta D. Berry and Caitlin Owl, and features Kenyatta D. Berry. The music for this episode was Good Vibe by Ketza. Gail Lukasik's book, White Like Her, is now available in paperback on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Follow Kenyatta on Instagram under the handle kenyatta.berry, on Facebook at facebook.com/kenyattadb, and on Twitter at kenyattadb. You can also find more information on her book and upcoming events on her website at kenyattaberry.com.